The hunt for hundreds of abducted schoolgirls heats up in Nigeria. The U.S. has sent a team of experts to assist with search efforts, and they include personnel from the State and Defense Departments and four FBI officials with expertise in safe recovery and negotiations. Now, for what the team is likely facing and the results it can hope for, we turn to Chris Voss. He's the former FBI lead international kidnapping negotiator. Chris, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
So, Chris, the FBI and the others, they've been in place for a couple days now. What do you imagine they're doing in these first hours?
Well, the first thing they have to do when they get there is to coordinate with the American officials that are already in country to try to understand where the lines of communication are. And the negotiators in particular are trying to figure out where the opportunities to influence the outcome are going to come from.
It seems like in a lot of hostage situations, someone may want attention or they may want money. This group may want a lot of different things. So is it possible to negotiate with them, do you think, in the first place?
Well, absolutely, especially if they want attention. I mean, that's the commodity that they're after, which is clearly what Boko Haram wants here. They seem to have fallen in love with doing these videos and releasing them to the media. So that's clearly what they want very badly. They're playing a publicity game. So there are tremendous opportunities to influence them, both good and bad.
And just from sort of the practice of negotiating, how do you determine your strategy, and how do you determine those lines of communication and those factors of influence that you mentioned?
Well, you start to look at what's the purpose of the communication they're doing in the first place. Now, Boko Haram is making these videos because they're trying to make themselves look like the legitimate power broker in the area. And so that's the first thing you realize, and you take a look at who they're trying to influence. And they're trying to influence the undecided people in the area who have to make up their mind whether they want to side with the government or whether they want to side with Boko Haram. And they want to side with whoever has the most power and who's going to protect them. So Boko Haram makes themselves look like statesmen. It's the Americans' job to make them look like criminals. And they'll paint them as criminals in the media. And then if they can successfully do that, that's going to make Boko Haram think twice about what it is that they're doing.
Now, this is a group that is known for violence. How would you handicap the chances of getting the hostages, the girls, out safely?
Well, what violence they're trying to do. They're trying to commit political violence to make themselves look like they're legitimately in charge. Or if there's good publicity for the group, then there's bad publicity for the group. And I'd also like to go back to a question you asked me a little bit ago, because you asked how can you negotiate with a group like this. You don't negotiate with them, you negotiate against them. You use negotiation as an offensive weapon, as opposed to sort of something that's considered defensive compromise.
So it's different from the strategy you would use to, say, someone who's standing on the edge of a building.
Well, somebody standing on the edge of the building is there because they want attention and they want something. So you have to understand what it is that they want. And you begin to look at things from what their thought process is, no matter how ridiculous the thought process might be. And once you figure that out, then you begin to figure out what outcomes they think are bad that are against the interests that they're after. And you have to take away sort of your rules for good and bad and understand what their rules for good and bad are.
And with the Americans coming into this, I mean, it seems like what you're describing is really the psychology and the culture that in this case, the Boko Haram have. So how do the Americans, as foreigners coming in, how do they get up to speed quickly?
Well, there's a lot of information, Boko Haram's words, and that's, you're exactly right. They are looking at the psychology that they have and what their actions indicate. So you start with what they've said. Specifically, and then when you begin to coordinate with the local people in country, they begin to give you background of the specific influential individuals that are involved in the leadership, and what groups might be neutral third parties that might have influence on them that they care about. If they claim to be an Islamic group, so the first question becomes: are there any Islamic figures that they actually listen to, or are they simply a group of sociopaths that are claiming to be Muslims?
We're speaking with Chris Voss. He's CEO of the Black Swan Group and former FBI lead international kidnapping negotiator. And I've one time I spoke with the person who interrogated Saddam Hussein, and this was a course of many years, and gained Saddam's trust, and seeming to give Saddam his trust. But in fact, he kept very close counsel and had no empathy in reality whatsoever with him. So my question is, it seems like the negotiators have to be really good actors also to maybe show empathy and show a desire to, I don't know, see the world from the point of view of the hostage takers, but yet not really.
Well, you know, that gets into what your definition of empathy is. And the gentleman that coined the term emotional intelligence, Daniel Goleman, his recent book that's out breaks empathy into three types of empathy. And one of them he actually refers to as sociopathic empathy. And that's where an individual understands completely where you're coming from, but doesn't feel it or agree with it in any way. And that's the type of empathy that actually, interestingly enough, that hostage negotiators have always practiced in completely understanding where they're coming from, and good interviewers like the individual that you just mentioned also, but not actually sharing any of those feelings or feeling them themselves. So you can't understand where someone's coming from without sympathizing with them, and that's where they draw the fine line. So it's negotiators' job to empathize completely. As long as they don't adopt those feelings, they simply have to understand them.
In other words, you don't want any Patty Hearsts coming into the situation.
Right, exactly. Well put.
And what about when you are a negotiator and you not only have to worry about the people who are holding someone hostage or the person you're trying to talk off the ledge, but there is another factor. And here it seems like it would be the Nigerian government, which, you know, on one hand says, no, we don't want to negotiate, and maybe they're willing to negotiate. But I'm just wondering, have you had experience when your ally turns out to be a complicating factor in what you're trying to do?
Good point, and the reality of the situation is the ally is always a complicating factor, so that goes with the territory. So to begin with, if you have a government that says we don't want to negotiate on the surface, which is what every government says, you simply start by redefining the term negotiation and simply define it as the idea of communicating with the purpose of influencing your intended outcome. And not including the word compromise in the definition. As soon as you make it that definition, and you can use it actually as an offensive tool to get what you want, then people are willing to understand if that's how you practice negotiation, then they'll go along with it. So that complicating factor is always there, and it just goes with the territory.
Now, once communication is established between our side's lead negotiator and the Boko Haram's side, what's your estimate of how long a resolution could take? Is it a matter of hours, days, months?
Well, it's going to, if there's a resolution, this outcome is going to take weeks and months. Boko Haram is in a position where they intend for this to last a very long time. They would have they don't take 200 people hostage and then make a claim that they're going to sell them off without the intention of it being a long, slow, deliberate process. So you need you counsel people that patience is a weapon. And as soon as you begin to realize that whoever's the most patient is likely going to be the most effective, that begins to give you the upper hand. And you want to start a process where you understand a process and a point of progression in that process, which then relieves you of the issue of how long it's going to take. So the lines of communication have actually been established a long time ago. Boko Haram chose a line of communication to be the media now, which is what they're communicating through. So it's group to group, and then you try to influence them on a number of levels, not just lead person to another lead person.
And Chris, just very briefly, because we don't have a lot of time, but I want to ask you, of course, you're not there, but what would you expect we will see from the U.S. negotiators? What's the first thing we'll see?
Well, you shouldn't see anything. You should actually, they should be working completely behind the scene, because they want to keep Boko Haram guessing as to who they're working with. So the negotiator's job in this case is to remain completely invisible and to empower someone who will counter Boko Haram's position.
All right, Chris Voss is the former FBI lead international kidnapping negotiator, now CEO of the Black Swan Group. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me on this morning.